Opera of Chicago's emphasis on Italian repertoire during its early seasons gave it the nickname La Scala West. But the operas of Wagner and Strauss were also important here early on. In the first two seasons, Lyric was all about Bel Canto, Verdi, and Verismo. But in our third season, 1956, we produced Strauss's Salome and Wagner's Die Walküre. Over the next decade, there were five other German operas. The leading singers were every bit as illustrious as those that Lyric audiences were hearing in Italian works. They were standard setters, true singing actors, venerated by their colleagues and by audiences and critics worldwide. Siegmund is the first character heard in Die Walküre. In that role in 1956, the first voice ever to be heard in Wagner's music on the Lyric stage was a German tenor who really should be more prominent in any discussion of legendary Wagnerians of the 20th century. Ludwig Suthaus was singing his only role with us. We don't have many true Helden tenors around nowadays, which makes listening to Suthaus doubly exciting. He wasn't particularly dashing to behold, and he was no longer young at the time, having been on stage for three decades. He sang Tristan well over 200 times with the greatest conductors of the day in the most celebrated houses, and he was just as successful as Siegmund. He had a fabulous darkness in his sound, and his was an incredibly manly voice. He could also be a poet when he sang.
Befreite der Bruder, zu treu liegt, was sie je getrennt. Ihr Hause grüßt sich das junge Paar.
Figuring in those first two German operas at Lyric was a dazzlingly charismatic German-born soprano. Like Suthaus, she was heard at Lyric only in 1956. Inge Borck sang sporadically in the U.S., but throughout the 1950s, she had European audiences at her feet. Her versatility was amazing. It's no surprise that her two Lyric roles were so radically different. Wagner's gentle Sieglinde in Die Walküre and Strauss's seductive Salome. It would have been exciting for Lyric to hear her Elektra, but for whatever reason, that was never in the cards. Still, we did have Bork's other signature role, her Salome. She was slim, glamorous, and an astoundingly sophisticated and detailed actress. It's too bad more of her performances weren't filmed. If she were around today, she'd be a natural for DVD and HD. And she had a voice like no other. It had a kind of flame in it that was hers alone, and she relished every word she sang.
Oh!
We were fortunate at Lyric to enjoy the great German bass baritone Hans Hotter in three roles: the noble Walküre Wotan in 1960, the villainous prison governor Pizarro in Lyric's first Fidelio the following year, and the wise speaker in the company's first Magic Flute in 1966. When he came back 15 years later, it was as a director. Again, the opera was Fidelio. Hotter had everything to excel in dramatic roles: the imposing physical stature, deeply insightful interpretive ability, and of course, a massive, distinctive, grand-scale voice. Whether in opera, concert, recital repertoire, Hotter was supreme in all three. He could put across a delicate Schubert song with extraordinary intimacy, but when it came to Pizarro's vicious, vindictive aria, he could blaze. Lyric general manager Carol Fox wisely engaged Swedish dramatic soprano Birgit Nilsson early on. San Francisco beat us by just a few weeks in presenting Nilsson's American debut. In nine seasons, from 1956 to 1974, Nilsson gave us her Brunhilde, Turandot, Isolde, Zenta, the Fidelio Leonora, and Amelia in Un ballo in maschera. The world has run out of superlatives for Nilsson. For three decades, she was indispensable to literally every major international house in all the big dramatic parts. Her huge, sword-like sound with its stupendous high notes, her unique security in the toughest roles, her musicality, her ability to take the stage, the sheer intelligence of her performances, she was simply incomparable. What we don't cite nearly enough is the beauty of Nilsson's voice. Whenever she sang Isolde's Liebestod, she transported her audience to some otherworldly realm of sheer ecstasy.